Thank you. You know, I was listening to their youth choir this morning, and I'm pretty sure Craig is a tenor. There are only two guys up there, so I think Ryan was really doing a big deal on that bass over there. He had to be the bass. He did a good job. I could really hear that. That was good. Really enjoyed that. Enjoyed the music. It was great. I don't know that I enjoyed turning 60 years old. You know, as you get older, some of you understand this. Your brain tells you you're still just a kid. But as your teeth are falling out and your hair is falling out, your body says otherwise. It's a strange experience to get older, and I hope I get over it. Thanks for your prayers. I appreciate it, and all your comments, and all your happy birthdays. Appreciate it. But I'm glad to be alive. It's better than alternative right now. So I'm glad to be here. I'm really glad, in all seriousness, that I have another day and another opportunity to serve the Lord and to express my love to Him. And I can do that greatly by expressing my love to you. So we're going to do that a little bit this morning in our message this morning, as I hope God uses me. I'm excited about what this new venture, this new project that we're going to work our way into. So first, though, I'll tell you what, let's go back to the crossword puzzle. Let's do that. Let's work through there a little bit so we can end up in our last mark of discipleship this morning. So G is for generosity, right? G is for generosity. So Christians are generous. What do? The first thing they do is they give to the Lord. They don't wait till the end of the month to see if there's anything left over for God and then give Him the leftovers. No, they give right out of their first fruits. They give to the Lord. So G is for generosity. Do we still have our puzzle? Somewhere? Yes? Well, yeah. I was just ad-libbing up here till we got the puzzle. Got to have our puzzle. So G is for generosity. And then our second little letter was on the bottom. There we go, marks of discipleship, G for generosity. Then on the bottom, P is for prayer. And so Christians pray. Paul said pray without ceasing. They're praying all the time. And we said that prayer helps to show our dependence upon God. It's not that God needs our prayers. He wants them, and He wants us to pray so that we can say, Lord, we can't do all this on our own. There are so many things out of our control, so many people's lives that are out of our control, so many people who don't know the Lord. We want to pray for all these folks. We want to pray for needs, and it shows our dependence upon God. I need you to change my life. That would be something we'd be praying about, okay? Then W is for worship. And we said there were two kinds of worship. There was corporate worship and private worship. And in private worship, we want to find our chair. We want to carve out a few minutes of our day where we are in a time of worship with the Lord. And we are just saying to God, Lord, I just want you to know, I just want to give just a few minutes just to be with you. So I'm not asking for anything except just to sit next to you, just for a few minutes. That's meaningful to God. It'll be meaningful to you. Should we carve out a few minutes of our 24 hours every day just to say, Lord, I just want to be with you. You're enough. But then we get out of our chair and we come to a place like this and we worship together. By the way, every time you choose to obey the Lord, you have just worshiped Him. So our worship of God is expressed not just by the time that we spend in our chair with the Lord, or even in this time when we come together, but all week long we are worshiping God as we choose to obey Him. And every time you are tempted to be drawn away from the Lord and you say, no, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm not going to yield to that temptation. I'm not going to yield to the way of the world. Every time you do that, you need to understand you just worship God. Obeying God is to worship Him. But we don't just do that by ourselves. We also do that corporately, but the church is not a corporation, and so our next letter was C, for community. C is for community. So we are all tied to each other because when Christ comes in our hearts, He ties each of us together as a body, the body of Christ. And so God never meant for us to do this thing solo. We are to do this together. And that's why it's so important for us to assemble together. And how in the world are we going to stir each other up to do good things, to do good works, if we're not assembling together? So we need community. And the community that is represented here is just a little foretaste of what it's going to be like when we get into heaven. And God wants us to have a little taste of what it's going to be like when we get there. So we have this community. It's a mark of discipleship. And then our next letter was evangelism. I'm sorry, it was S for service. So how do we express our love to God? By serving each other. When we meet the needs of others, we are serving the Lord. So we're not meant just to be all-consuming and just to be concerned about our own lives. In fact, the New Testament says, no, think of others. In fact, it says, put others' needs before your own. And so we are to serve each other. And then our next letter was E, and there's evangelism. A mark of discipleship is such that Christians are sharing the gospel with lost people. You remember, I don't know, was it last week or a week before? No, it was several weeks ago. Because we touched on Scripture last Sunday. We were talking about evangelism, and I said one of the best places to go to evangelize is on a cruise. A cruise is like a mission trip because there are so many people there working from all around the world, and they're open to the gospel, and you can give them gospel tracts. And in fact, the Wellfields are leaving on a cruise. And they caught me this morning after the early service and they said, we're going to get 1,000 tracts and take them with us on the ship. And each of them, they got 10 people, and so each of them are going to take 100 tracts each and spread them out over the ship and in the different places that they go. Everybody say amen. Amen. That's what we're talking about. That's a mark of discipleship. But we need something else. And that's S. S is for Scripture. And so we want to talk some more about Scripture today, and we're going to continue to talk about Scripture in the weeks to come. We're going to have a little project that we're going to talk about today. We're actually not going to get started on it till probably this Sunday after Easter is where we'll end up, because there's some work we need to do, and we need to understand. And so I want to talk to you about Scripture today. I'm going to use my PowerPoint. I haven't done one of these in quite a while, so I'm a little rusty. People have all kinds of needs. You take this away from a lot of folks in this room, and you're going to have chaos. You know, coffee and being a Baptist, it just goes together. And, of course, it's one of the things that I think about when I get up in the morning. I just love to drink coffee. I'm not so much an afternoon coffee drinker, a little bit every once in a while, but in the morning, just love to have it. And of course, Allison and I, we get our coffee together, and that's when we sit and we talk about our day and how our kids have all left us and how that's so wonderful. I'm telling you, life gets easier when your kids are gone. Not as much to wash, clean, all that stuff. It's wonderful. I recommend it. So people have all kinds of needs, and oh yeah, I got to hit the button here. So I had to decide, well, what's our need here at our church? And really, what our need is generic to, you know, everybody's church. But I got to find specifically where we were, so we did the little survey, as you know, and found out about where people were as it in relationship to the text, the scripture. And here's one of the things that I found out. So members under 70 who like to read, so these are people under 70, they told me they like to read. They told me that. They like print. Do you feel you are consistent in your Bible reading? That was the question. 90% of those under 70, and there were 250 total, or it was 250, I think there was under 70. That's what it was. It was 270 under 70, 250 under 70. It took the survey. 90% of the 250 said, I'm not consistent with my Bible reading, even though I like to read, love to read, but they're not doing a very good job reading the Bible. That's what they told me. Okay, survey. That means that we got a problem. And so we need to have a plan. Part of this plan is a rationale. We need to establish what it is that God wants us to do to help the people in our church, whether you're a member or non-member. It doesn't matter. The project is going to be everybody that comes, because we all need this. And so what is it that we need to do? That's our mission. And what is the target? Well, the target is expressed to us through Joshua chapter 1:8. There's one text in the Old Testament, and then the New Testament in James chapter 1 and verse 21. So in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, before they go into the promised land, God says this to the Israelites. He says, this book, and to Joshua specifically as a leader, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do everything according to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. So instead of teaching Joshua how to train his men for war, he said, you guys need to get in the book, and that's how you're going to find success. And we will too. And then in James chapter 1 and verse 21, through the pen of James, the Lord says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Now they had already received the word of God. They had already been saved, if you go back up to verse 18. So the word of God, because they were Christians, was already planted in their hearts. Now James is saying, now you need to continue to receive the implanted word that's already there. So not only was the word of God able to help them to be born again and to be saved, but the word of God also has a purpose in a Christian's life so that that Christian can grow. So the command is the followers of Christ need to engage Scripture. In the New Testament as well, you can go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 13. Paul says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. What would you be reading? You'd be reading the Word of God. Paul tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. So engaging the text is a rationale. It's something that God commands us to do in the Scripture. Not everybody feels that way. There's a theologian by the name of Stanley Hauerwas. He was a theologian at Duke University. Here's what he said. This is a quote. No task is more important than for the church to take the Bible out of the hand of individual Christians. Let us no longer give the Bible to all children when they enter the third grade or whenever their assumed rise to Christian maturity is marked, such as eighth grade commencements. Let us rather tell them and their parents that they are possessed by habits far too corrupt for them to be encouraged to read the Bible on their own. Do you realize what he's saying? In his pulpit, he is saying, rip it out of their hand. Don't you dare let these people read the Bible. Why? Because they're too corrupt. They live in a world that's too corrupt. The thing we need to do is we need to take the Bible, the Word of God, out of their hands because they can't understand it for themselves. They need some person with a doctorate. No, they don't. Case in point. Has anybody ever heard of 1 Corinthians? It was a letter that Paul wrote to the saints at the church at Corinth. He instructed them about the way they ought to live their lives. And he also chastised them. He exhorted them. He rebuked them because they brought in a lot of their old habits from their old way of life into the church. And in 1 Corinthians, he didn't say, don't let those people read the Bible. No, in fact, in 2 Corinthians, he commended them because they listened to his letter in 1 Corinthians and they let God change their lives. And he said, man, you guys have really repented. And yet they were the most dysfunctional church in the New Testament. And the answer was to read the inspired letters of the New Testament and, of course, the Old Testament. So our charge, our command, is not to take the Bible out of the people's hands like they did somewhat in the before the Reformation, right? You know why the Reformation got started. The printing press allowed the Bible to get into people's hands, and they started reading it for themselves, and God started changing their lives. Scripture is a mark of discipleship. Christians, people who follow Jesus, they engage the Word of God. Why do they do that? That's our values. Robert Mounts, he teaches Greek, and he says the imperative in the New Testament language is the strongest way. In fact, he said you can't find a stronger way to tell someone to do something than giving the imperative. And we know that God has commanded us in James chapter 1 and verse 21 and Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 and in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. And how about just like in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. God has commanded us to engage his word. Now, there are a lot of perks from engaging the scripture. But the perks are not the number one reason why we do it. The number one reason we do it is God has commanded us to do it. He's commanded you to do it, to engage it. And not just in an ad hoc way, in a way where we pick up the Word of God every once in a while, but we do it with consistency. That's Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. That's James chapter 1 and verse 21. We are consistently unfolding the Word of God so that God might take His Word and He might give us power. Give us power for faith. Now, the greatest text for evangelism is Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What happens when you engage the Word of God is, as a Christian, not only obviously it helps lost people become saved, but as a Christian, when we listen to God's Word, when we read God's Word, it enlarges our faith. It makes our faith stronger and bolder. It helps us to trust God for things that we've never were able to trust God for before. It gives us power to do what we ought to do what God wants us to do. So the text, when we engage it, gives us power for faith. Something else it does, it'll change your life. Now, I was very careful with my wording here. Hearing God's word with consistency offers, here's the word, opportunity for change. I didn't say that hearing God's word causes change. Anybody ever heard of the Pharisees? They heard God's word. They knew it. They had it memorized. And they meditate on it all the time. But it didn't change their life because they didn't listen to what God had to say. So just because you're exposed to God's word doesn't mean the right kind of change is going to happen. In fact, they had so much religion that their hearts became hard before the Lord. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was standing right in front of them, and they wouldn't recognize him. They wouldn't worship him. They didn't want to receive him into their lives because their hearts were so hard, because they didn't listen to what God said in the Word of God. So it's not just that we engage the Word of God, it's that we respond to it. We open up our hearts to the Lord. When we do that, change can occur in our lives. Now, that's what God's after. Because when we become a Christian, we all know that we're impatient and selfish. Those are probably two of our biggest problems right there. You get rid of selfishness and impatience, you'll never have another divorce. It's a problem. We need God to help us with these things. We need character development. The fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Y'all remember what long-suffering means? It means to suffer long. We're going to need to hear from God. We're going to need to engage God's word. See, when you engage God's word, what God does is he stirs up your faith. Your faith helps you to believe God for things in your life that you can't do on your own, that only God can do. So as I'm engaging God's word, I'm hearing about what I ought to be, and I look at my life and I go, they ain't the same, man. There's a chasm. There's a separation there. How do I get from here over to there? And God stirs up my faith. Trust me for that. Ask me for that. Meditate about that in your life throughout your day and your night, and see if I won't do a great work in your life and change your life and make you different. How so? So that you're not so selfish. So that you think about others. So that you'll want to serve. So that you'll want to carve out part of your day and say, Lord, I just want to spend some time with you. So that you'll want to come to this kind of community setting here faithfully, even when it's not convenient. So that you'll want to share the gospel with somebody else, even though you may feel a little funny and they may feel a little funny. You say, it really doesn't matter, because God is working on my faith, and I know these people need to hear about God and how he loves them. And you'll want to get into the text. When we engage God's text, the word of God, he stirs up our faith. And that faith is for change. So if you have a church that is full of folks who are not engaging God's word, you got a problem. What's the problem? The problem is you're probably not having a lot of spiritual change in their lives. You can't, it's not going to happen. It's a start, but it's not going to happen by just listening, you know, to Mike, you know, once a week. Now, most people don't come to church once a week anymore. Did you know that? Most folks, the average today is once out of every 6 weeks. So if I give a 7 marks of discipleship, that means most are going to catch 1 of the 7. Now, that's not true in our church. We're probably once out of 3 or 4, 2, somewhere around there, okay? But the average in the West is 1 out of 6. And it's not enough just to hear Mike 1 out of 6, 1 out of 5, 1 out of every, if you came every week, you need God's word, because that's what's going to help spiritual transformation in your life. So we need a solution. And for every problem, God gives us a solution. So here's our solution. to lead members and non-members. It doesn't matter if you're a member of the church. We're all going to do this together to engage the Scriptures with consistency and reflection. I don't want you just to hear or engage what God says in His Word of God. I want you to reflect upon it. So if you listen to what the Lord says, I want you to think about it, to consider it. You know, like when you get up in the morning and you start to get ready, you know, and you're looking at the mirror, you're looking at a reflection, right? Because you want to make sure that you look pretty, that you look nice before you show up. I was fixing to walk out this morning, and Allison said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to church. I work down there. I'm the preacher." She said, "Well, you're not going like that." She was my mirror. She reflected upon my attire. And she said, "Take that shirt off. It's wrinkled." I said, "My body heat will take care of that." "No, it won't." So she ironed my little shirt, put it on. She doesn't like it that my undershirt kind of sticks out back here. I get this every day when I go to work. But that's what God wants us to do with the Word of God, with the Bible. He wants us to not only get in the book, but then reflect upon it. What is God wanting to say to me and to my life? He wants to speak to each one of us about our lives. So our solution needs a focus. We've got to narrow it down. And in bringing a focus, it needs to be simple. These guys were the NASA scientists back in 61, 62 as they were trying to put men on the moon. That was a complicated thing. We don't need complication. We need to keep it simple. Got a bunch of Baptists here today. Strategy. We not only need to know what, why, how. How are we going to do this? Because we've got 70%, right? We had 70% in our survey who told us that they were not consistent in engaging God's Word. So we want to get those 70 on track with the other 30, and maybe we can even improve the other 30% so they can even do better. So we want a church full of people who are engaging God's Word, because if they engage God's Word, we're going to have a church full of people that are experiencing spiritual transformation, where God is changing their lives and their hearts, and they're becoming compassionate for other folks. And they're expressing love to other folks. And they're even learning how to treat themselves. Rejection's a big problem for everybody, but particularly for Christian people. Many people have never learned how to deal with rejection. Many people have never learned how to deal with the guilt of their past, to deal with condemnation. Many Christians today, their experience is more of the feelings of inner conflict rather than peace. That's not what God wants. God wants your life and my life so that we're living out each week, week in and week out, where we have the feelings of peace and now we're in a position to help others. We need the Word of God for this. We need a solution. We need it to be focused and simple, and we need to know how to do it. So I have an idea. Was that you, Allison? Thank you for your support. This is not my idea. I'm not here to just, you know, wipe you out. And Allison, she gets on me sometimes. I'll go home. That's when I'm looking for my words of affirmation, right? "You did a good job. You're wonderful, honey. You're the best preacher ever." What I get sometimes is, "Man, you just laid everybody out today. I hope somebody comes back next Sunday." And I'll say, "Well, I didn't really mean it that way." "Well, that's the way it came out." In other words, make sure, Mike, that when you're preaching all this stuff, teaching that everybody knows that we're all on the same page here. This is not Mike talking down to you. No, we're all on this thing together, okay? And that's what Allison's always trying to help me. And one of the things I'm not trying to do is to overwhelm you, and we don't have to. No, we can accomplish what God wants us to do to engage His Word without being wiped out. Okay? So what are we going to do? What am I going to suggest to you? In the strategy, in the how, in the approach of engaging God's Word. This is kind of heading in that direction. Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Your works. You did if you were a boy. You probably didn't do that if you were a girl. Girls, you did that if you were a girl? Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks for correcting me. Now, here's what we're talking. Now, look at this picture here. Does this person look stressed out? No. She looks so relaxed. She's smiling. She's enjoying what's going on here. Okay? And what is she doing? Well, she's just got some things, you know, headphones on. She's listening to whatever. So this is what we're talking about. Listening. Listening to the Word of God. This is going to be our strategy. Now, let's just camp out here for just a moment or two, and we're going to have to close here in a couple minutes. Okay, so I got lots more for you on my PowerPoint, but not today. There's actually, you know, a couple different ways of approaching the Word of God. One is reading and one is listening. Now, the verses I read to you in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4:13, 1 Thessalonians 5:27, have to do with reading. Okay? But if somebody's reading, what else is somebody doing? Listening. If somebody's reading, somebody's listening. If they're having public reading of the text, somebody's listening. Okay? Now, remember, the printing press is the new kid on the block. For most of history, they didn't have print. They had to write it down, okay? But in the first century, you didn't have your own personal scroll. You went to the synagogue, if you were Jewish, to hear God's Word, the Old Testament. In the New Testament churches later on, they would come and they would have several copies and they would read that copy so that the church could hear it. But they didn't have 4.7 Bibles in every home. And yet, in the book of Acts, we had the greatest explosion of the gospel. How so? Through people's ears. So one of the ways that we engage the Word of God, and this is the most ancient way to do it, this is not the new kid on the block, is through our ears. And we have kind of forgotten about that. And what are you doing right now? You're listening through your ears. You're listening as I read Scripture to you. And I'm saying to you that not only is it one of the viable ways to engage God's Word, it's effective. It's effective. And it is not the same as reading. Listening is different. I hear things as I listen to God's Word that I've read 5,000 times. But I went, wow, that just hit me in a different way. And I think about it and ponder, and I go, no, Lord, I didn't know. You know, I see now. God, that was awesome. That came from listening. Okay. So we're going to have a project in our church. Also, you can do it while you're exercising. Okay? How about driving to work? You can do that. There's all kinds of different ways. We need to connect the dots. And I'm going to move through here pretty close. So we'll come back to some of this. This will be another day next Sunday. Here's our project. Faith comes by hearing. There's a free app that you can go to on the App Store when you type in Bible.is. And you can download the New Testament on your phone. And what we are going to do is have 40 days of listening to the New Testament. All of us together as a church. We're not going to get started till after Easter, like the Sunday afterwards, because I still got to work I got to work with you to get some things accomplished in our planning for it to be successful for you. If we listen for 28 minutes a day, for 40 days, we'll go through the entire New Testament. Not everyone will be able to do that, but I can assure you, come back next Sunday, because every single one who enrolls in the project for our church for 40 days of listening will be a success. You can be a success during those 40 days. And listen, maybe not to the whole New Testament, but you'll be able to listen, and God is going to change your life. We are not only going to listen, we're going to reflect. I love this picture. You remember we talked about centering down, finding that chair, okay? And I'm so thankful for... He's gone. Never mind. Well, I'll tell you who I'm thankful for next Sunday. I'll have a picture of him. Okay, so Bible.is, be on your cell phone. We're going to listen. Not everybody is going to want to do it through their cell phone. I'll have an alternative for you, okay? There's a Bible stick you can use. Maybe your laptop, you might want to use that. Regardless, we're going to find a way for everybody to get involved and listen to the Word of God. And why are we going to engage God's Word? Because it's profitable? Well, yeah. Because God's going to change your life? Well, yeah. Because He's going to give power for faith? Well, yeah, but that's not the number one reason. The number one reason we're going to engage God's Word is because, why? God commands it. It's an imperative. It's not optional. And God commands that we engage His Word not just every once in a while, but with consistency. That's what we want our church to be, full of people who are spending their time in God's Word. All right, let's pray. So have you been consistent with the Bible? You say, well, no, not really, Mike. I'm really having a struggle. Let's start praying about it right now, asking God to help you. Speaking to the Lord about your desire to want to follow Him as a disciple. To not be negligent in this most important matter of exposing your life to the Word of God. What a terrible thing to think that we have 4.7 Bibles in the West in every home, and most of them just collect dust. Lord, help me to engage Your Word, to expose my life. I want that aspect of my life to change because I want You to change me. It's something to start praying about as we work through this in the next few Sundays. As we're praying, maybe there's someone here today who has never made a decision for Christ. You never asked the Lord to come into your life for the first time, and you only have to do it one time, but you'd like to do that today. I'll be standing here at the front, and you can just step up and walk down here while the rest of us are praying. Maybe there's someone else who needs to make a decision for the Lord or join the church, whatever it is. As the rest of us are praying, you just stand up and come. And I'll be here to receive you.